Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and happy to lead us along in our series called Living Water. We're discovering that Living Water is not the name over the back of a church. It's not the name on a website. Really, Living Water, it's an invitation. Living Water. And it's an invitation that we carry with great importance and with concern for ourselves and concern for others. Living Water. This metaphor is found in John chapter 7. The verse we're using that we consider this morning, again, is anyone who believes in me may come and drink. The scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. And when Jesus said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. Last few weeks, we've considered out of this verse here, human thirst. Last week, Luke shared with us how this invitation, this verse creates invitation, personal invitation, come and drink. How beautiful it was as we ended, if you're here last Sunday, that we ended up singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. I'll sing that. Come Thou Fount. The next 2 weeks, we're considering expecting rivers. And this conversation includes, as already been announced, next Sunday night here at 6:30 for NEAR. I want to encourage you to come as next Sunday night is a part of this conversation we're having. And we're so limited, as we all know, to time, but perhaps by opening that good things will come. I really believe that. Our worship team's preparing themselves so well, and it's going to be a good night, January 26th at 6:30 right in here. I've loved the conversations we're having around living water. They're happening in lobbies. They're happening in our life groups. They're happening online and electronically. How beautiful it is for us to be a part of a community that is interested in hearing God together. For that certainly is what we see, how God calls a person, and then he calls a people. Learning how to listen together and how to be a part of that listening and part of that speaking is really important for a follower of Jesus, to be a part of community. And I want to introduce Janelle, because Janelle is a beautiful illustration of how God talks to people and how God positions people. It's been beautiful to have you a part of our team's conversation around this idea of living water. Janelle's journey with this whole idea of living water began last year when her and a group of her friends said, we are going to address our bucket list and we are going to hike the West Coast Trail, right? And we have a picture of that. And last July, top right, West Coast Trail 2019. She does what few people have ever done. She's a giant. But beyond the bucket list, as you've described, there was, with your friends, there was this sense that as you prepared physically for that, what is it, 7 days, six, whatever, long hike, that God was interested in making it about a bit more. So tell us a little bit about how that played out with you and your friends, this idea of living water, and now you're so curious as we talk about it as a community. Help us understand that.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey. Is this on?
Green?
Now it is. Hi. yeah, training physically was imperative, obviously, but the group of girls and I really were stirred and felt that this journey on the West Coast Trail was going to be so much more than a physical sort of challenge and accomplishment. And so we pressed in and we prayed together, and our prayer group committed our time, of course, praying for protection, of course, committing those things to the Lord, but really sensing that the Lord had unique gifts for each of us. And so during our prayer time, there were words and verses and songs that were given to each of us. And so we had that as a gift to enter the trail and really pray in and press into what that meant for each of us personally. So it was such a gift because we went expectant for the Lord to show up, and he did, obviously.
So, as I understand it,
yes.
The image and the verbiage was about water.
Yeah.
So help us understand.
Yeah. So on the trail, the word was water, and along with Psalm 63, talking about our soul thirsting for the Lord and longing after him, and really had a lifetime of struggling to do that well, and so I found it interesting that those were my passages that the Lord was going to speak to me on. And going on the trail, you have to collect your water, of course. So you have to find a freshwater stream. You have to go and dip your gravity filter in and fill it up and take it back to the camp. And while I was doing that the first day, I was profoundly hit by just the realization that just as water is imperative for our physical bodies to keep us alive, so his living water is spiritually imperative for our well-being, for our spiritual well-being. And so it was that sort of amazing reminder that his living water is important for my soul. So in going back to the river, and going back to the stream again, because you have to collect water multiple times when you're camping, again, he pressed in and said, just as you have to repeat and come back to the water to take another sip, so you have to do that spiritually. You have to repeatedly come back to me, offer me your cup, and I will fill it on repeat. This happens as a rhythm. And then it's, you know, more profound, as opposed to coming and drinking and assuming that your glass of water today is going to carry you for 4 days. It won't. Mm-hmm. You have to return.
You had some interesting insight about thirst and how you can actually, if you don't take care, you don't keep an eye on things, you can actually be dehydrated and not even know it. Mm-hmm. Help us with that.
Yeah, well, this concept of thirst physically is fascinating. Just that oftentimes when we are thirsty, our brain sends that signal to us. So it alerts us that we have thirst and that we have a need for water. And so when we ignore that symptom or we ignore that sign or we are too busy and distracted, sometimes that signal gets weakened. And so it's so interesting. And some of the symptoms that come from that are that dryness, which I totally have right now, the dry mouth, the blurred vision, the confusion, just the disorientation and foggy brain. So interesting how that parallels our dry soul, that those symptoms are true for those dry places of our soul. And so the Holy Spirit, like our brain, is the one that stirs and prompts us and helps us recognize our dryness, where we're dry, and then, you know, helps stimulate that thirst through his gracious invitation to come and drink.
Mm. It's beautiful. That's so the parallels are real there. They're so easy to see. Mm-hmm. So we're heading towards the next 2 weeks, expecting rivers is what we're going to draw from our passage. But as Janelle's a member of our church and she's part of a life group and serving regularly, and I know you carry a concern for this community. So as we think about expecting, how have you been praying into that? And what imagination would be stirred when you think about living waters and expecting rivers in this coming year?
Well, I think because it's been profound for me of tasting and seeing what a little bit of drink will do to stimulate the thirst, and the thirst grows, I can only anticipate what that means as I continue to press in. And so for everybody, for the whole community, just what it would look like if we all responded to that thirst signal spiritually, and he promises to fill us. So that's not the issue. The issue is whether we are willing to be open and come. And so I fully expect that as people open, as I am learning to open and surrender, that he will fill and fill abundantly, like he will offer the river instead of the trickling stream. Mm. So I'm expecting rivers too.
Right on. That's so good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being on a journey with us. Yeah, it's articulating it so well. Yeah, so good. So good. How we can learn from each other, right? And thanks for all the good relationships that are built in our life groups and in our lobbies and during the week as we seek each other out and as we hear together and as we communicate and find words for that, it leads us all to a better place. So thanks.
It's good.
So we're learning in John chapter 7 that we are created by God, by God's design to be a people filled with his presence, filled with his presence, and filled with his purposes. How good it is that Scripture helps us find a bit of clarity. And sometimes without that clarity, we just don't have it. And so to discover in Scripture, quite simply stated, that God's divine design is that you and I would be filled with his presence and purposes, sure helps us find our way. By God's divine design, we've been created with a thirst that Janelle was talking about. And it's by God's design, because that thirst is something that creates motivation and it moves us. This thirst that we have, and you make your list, and I've got mine, but maybe categorically, this thirst for love, this thirst for security, for identity, for meaning and purpose, and all through Scripture, we see that God is asking people to take responsibility and to pay attention to where they are going for those needs to be met. And there's all kinds of stories. There's good stories and there's challenging stories of what people have done with these primary needs, which are to be met within a loving, living, growing relationship with God. But as I just said, history is full. Your perhaps office where you work is full of narratives of people that haven't got there yet. And there's a format, there's a lifestyle, and we're not judging that, we're just identifying that that's true, that those misdirected longings, there's a path that is perhaps different than the path that God has. And we looked in this series in John chapter 7, the Feast of Tabernacle, where these crowds had gathered around religious ceremony. And Jesus stands in the middle of it and says, you're not going to find what you're looking for in a religious setting, in this lawful religious expression, calling you to a relationship with Jesus there standing as saying, I'm that living water. We looked at John 4, the Samaritan woman, whose misdirected longings had a narrative to it, that Jesus said, hey, I've got something else for you. That thirst that you are showing evidence of and the decisions that you're making, I offer you something else. And in the Old Testament, it would be the same. God gave voice to Jeremiah to express his concerns. Jeremiah 2:13. It says, for my people have done two evil things. They've abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can actually hold no water at all. And then later in the same book, for they have abandoned the Lord, the fountain of living water. So history, present history, your workplace, your hockey team, your neighbor, perhaps your family, without God, even looking inward, without God in our lives, we are easily seduced into digging our own cisterns. And we will attempt, because the need is so real, by God's divine design, we will dig our own cisterns, we will dig our own wells. and wells that potentially involve engaging in relationships and activities. We get busy, we keep busy, we become lazy, we buy things, we sell things, we build things, we tear things down, we go to sleep, we wake up, we get more involved, we quit work, we're content, we're restless, because each and every day, with this ebb and flow of this great need, which is not directed to an active growing relationship with Christ, creates a reality that doesn't have to be. Each day, you and I, we lift up our need. We lift up our cup every day, and we hold it up all day. And while this perhaps looks all different for us, we do this, lift up our cup, because we have a need for a filling. And we can so easily and unwisely burn through time, talent, and treasures to fill up what Jeremiah chapter 2 calls cracked or broken cisterns, potentially leaving people, you and I, drained, disillusioned, and thirsting for something more, and then potentially getting up and doing that all again the next day. But how beautiful it is to be aware of a gospel that calls us off of that pattern towards a person, where Christ says, through his gospel, I seek to go deep into your life, to exercise a reign, and to provide resources for the meeting of those thirsts that I have given you. I offer you, Jesus says, living water to meet the needs of your heart in a lasting way. And at the risk of sounding like I'm sharing a formula, knowingly our basic needs that are met by God allows all the other pieces of our lives to find their proper place, and how good that is. Where this consistent filling of our lives by God, potentially quenching our thirst, while at the same time increasing our thirst for more. And in that continually going back to that same source, trust grows and faith grows because of it. And again, we're all on this journey together, finding our way, splashing around in the midst of this conversation. Whether we've got the same name for it or not, we're all at the same plane, trying to sort this out by God's divine design. So our verse shares that we've read a bit of a prophetic promise. And again, at the risk of overstating what a prophetic promise is, a prophetic promise is just, this is what the future looks like. And so here we see what a future can look like. In some ways, Jesus is telling us in advance what this path would look like, and as he would be recognized as living water. So let's quickly just consider this. So it says, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So this is important because it tells us where the source is. The source of life, light and life, like and water that Luke was talking about, is we are not the source of it. We are not the living water. We are not that source, nor will we ever be. He is the source. This has always been on God's mind, that he would be this generous, life-giving God. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, and I will pour out my spirit. So in other words, he's saying, you don't have this until you receive it. Creates a little bit of an intersection, a little bit of a black and white scenario. In other words, either you're filled with the Spirit or you're not. And again, that's not judgment, it's just invitation that we would be filled. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit. So we certainly see beyond this passage of Scripture that it's on the heart of God to pour out his life upon us. The reading of these promises are best perhaps appreciated as they create expectation for followers of Christ, highlighting this God's good desire to impart his life, his living water, his spirit within us. Then he moves from metaphor to relationship. He says, when Jesus said living water, Jesus was speaking of the Spirit. So here we're moving from metaphor to the potential of relationship. He's actually speaking about the Holy Spirit here. So this living water, this metaphor, is a way of you and I appreciating the various ways in which the Holy Spirit works within a person's life. This experience, this pouring, this outpouring, again, does not originate with us or from within us. It rather comes from without to within. And that needs to be noted because, again, the question is, are you filled with the Spirit or aren't you? And again, it's not judgment or criticism. It's just invitation that we would be a people filled by the Spirit. All through Scripture, we see the evidence of the benefit of life in the Spirit. Let me remind you of a sum. Ezekiel chapter 36 talks about alivened obedience. You ever notice how hard it is to follow God? Ezekiel says, I will put my Spirit within you. So in other words, you have it or you don't. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This word cause, again, it's not overrunning. It's I will equip you. I will enable you. So again, this is not cause. It's invitation. I will help you walk out these statutes and you will be careful to obey my ordinances. Corinthians speaks about how the Spirit helps us understand whose we are and what a thirst we have to know where we land, where we belong, what are we a part of. The lonely moments that we have. Here, the Spirit would say, we are the temple of the living God. And just as God said, I will dwell in them and I will walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. Romans 8 talks about an increase of physical capacity to be received from the Spirit. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body, to your human body, through His Spirit who dwells in you. So here we've got this idea. Scripture describes it differently, the armor of the flesh. So we will our way forward, or we walk in the Spirit our way forward. There is the potential of our human mortal body to be alive and through healing and through the help and assistance of the Holy Spirit. And oh, how we need that. How we need that to get the work done that God has for us, not in a sluggish, tired way, but in a way that's enlivened by the Spirit who seeks to give strength to our mortal bodies. That's why if you find yourself here for any, we pray for divine healing. We pray because the promise of God is, I will heal you, I will help you, I will come alongside. A few more, John 16, I will empower you to speak. He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak in His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. So here, this thought that there are things that we will not know without a life enlivened by the Spirit. So we got choices, a little bit of an intersection again. Do we want to hear from God? He will lead us, Galatians says, led by the Spirit. 1 John 2, He will teach us God's will through the work of His Spirit in 1 John, the last paragraph there. Just as it has taught you, you abide in Him. So here we see this the invitation. We see the need for us to be enlivened by the Spirit. And the contrast that's there. So friends, notice this invitation. We accomplish God's will by receiving and by expecting rivers of living water. How beautiful it is that we don't have to have confusion. We don't have to feel like we're missing something. We accomplish God's will by receiving. This is God's will. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the Christian's experience, to be people that are receiving from God. Things that we don't have, we are able to have. Gospel begins with receiving, and it continues to be all about receiving all the days of our lives. And of course, in direct proportion to a person's thirst and desire to receive, we grow and are led. It's all directly related to thirst. The last part of this says, living water would be given to everyone who believes in Him. Here, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say shall. It refers a little bit to a condition of choice. And we appreciate this as it says, would be given to. The word given to means to actually lay hold of what's available. To actively, so it will be given to them. And this whole thing is based upon the willingness of the recipient to lay hold of what is available to them. So here God says, I will give to those who are interested and willing to lay hold of what I want to, what is available to them. So this certainly creates curiosity, doesn't it? I wonder what's available. All laid out in Scripture. Speaks of intentionality, means to have a priority. It means a person accepts what is available for them. Exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. These people were no different than us. But what happened in the upper room is the disciples took hold of what was being given to them. God was pouring out His Spirit, and they just took hold of that. And that's been happening ever since within the church. This past Thursday was my birthday. Happy birthday, Dave. Happy birthday. There you go. Made it. Another year. But my personal tradition on my birthday is always to be late for work. I just have this little thing going. And birthday privilege. And so I was late for work on Thursday. But I was late because of my habit that I've had for years, and that is to go and get my specialty drink at Starbucks on my birthday, my free drink. I pay all year. So this is my moment where I walk in there like this. And I got my grande specialty drink. It's $5.20 coming my way, yeah. But as I was standing there, it was an interesting thing. Like, the lady at the cash, she didn't know it was my birthday. But when I told her it was my birthday and that I had come to receive what was available for me, she just picked right up on it. And then she told the barista, and I walked down, and all of a sudden, Dave, and I reached, and I enjoyed, and I was late for work. It was good. It was a good day. It was a good day. We should actually not go to work on our birthdays. I think we should work towards that. But simple illustration, but a little bit of truth to that. Starbucks didn't come looking for me. I had to go and get what was available for me. And I was confident that I would receive what was available to me, because I'd been there before, and every year, for so many years, so many years, so good, so good. It's kind of like that, friends, in our Christian journey. It's about going and getting what's available to us, not as beggars, but just as good people going to a good God to get good things. To get good things. In summary, I think this verse says, living water will be given to those who lift up their lives, lift up their soul, lift up their cup, lift up their empty cistern as a way of life and not as a good moment in life. This is the gospel. You and I have this need, and because of this, we have the responsibility to lay hold of these promises. Why is this so key? Because you and I do not have what it takes to create spiritual life. Let me just finish this quickly. You and I do not have what it takes to create spiritual life. All we reproduce is human life. We do not reproduce spiritual life. We can't perform spiritual transformation on ourselves. We can pick up a Bible. We can download Christian music. We can go to church. We can go to a life group. We can date a Christian guy or girl. We can marry the same. But we do not create spiritual transformation. It comes from without to within. Ephesians says it this way, and when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. Ezekiel says, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's the sinner's prayer. And it will always be the sinner's prayer, of which I am. Lord, I receive. Beyond that, discipleship is about, Lord, I receive. Spiritual formation, one of the values of Living Waters Church, is Lord, I receive. And it's being on this perpetual journey of hungering and thirsting and receiving that which we have in no other place, within the life of no other person. God's good gifts, he gives to those who ask. And finally, our slide says, would be given to everyone who believes. The last part of this, everyone who believes. So we are not able to have a conversation around living water and just think about ourselves. Because even as Jesus says here, he was dialed in to the people with him, but yet his narrative was about so many more. To everyone who believes. So here Jesus, as he makes it personal, he's also thinking about a people that have yet to hear and yet to know. That's why John 3:16 said, for God so loved the whole world. So these conversations that we have, I'm going to invite the worship team to join me. These conversations that we have about living water, we pray as a person, but we are also very much, as Danelle said, carrying concerns for a broader people, that everyone, which includes everyone, would know this good living water. How beautiful it is, and we've mentioned it the last week, that as a community, 80 years, Living Waters, and next few weeks we'll begin to talk a little bit about some of the ideas we have for this year. But when you think about everyone who believes, and when you think about that word everyone, and you think about God so loved the whole world, I can't help but think, there's just so much more for us to participate in. There's just so much more for our community to be a part of. There's so many more. Because living water conversation is about more. More in the life of the Spirit. More people knowing. I can't help but think that there's so much more. And that there's good days ahead. I want to invite you to stand as we move to the end of the service. We're going to sing this chorus. It says, all who are thirsty, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream of life. There's a part at the end where it says, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I would ask you, Luke's going to come in a moment and conclude this service, but I would ask just for these next couple moments that with an open heart, with an open mind, we would say, come, Lord Jesus, come. I lift my cup, I lift my life. And while you hold your life up, would you also give a mind and attention to those many hundreds of people around us that still need to understand that God cares. That thirsting that is in their lives, man, Jesus has so much to give. He has so much to offer. And through our good testimony, alive and by the Spirit, we have such good days ahead. We have such good days ahead. So let's sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Could you bow your heart, bow your head just for a moment? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let's make this our prayer today. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come.
We read earlier from Psalm 42. I'm going to ask Martin if he can put up that first portion of it on the screen for us. The beginning of Psalm 42 reads, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." And then the psalmist writes, "When can I go and stand before him?" And in context here, the psalmist is longing and is desperate again to experience what they had in the past, to be with God, to be with the people of God, to know life and not death, to know joy and not sorrow. But I think that question is a good question for us to close with today, even as we've considered what we've heard from Janelle, what we've heard from Dave, what we've heard from the scriptures and the songs that we sing, and the general theme of Living Waters that we're considering together. When can I go and stand before him? Is that a good question for us this week? When can I go and find some time, some space on my feet, on my knees, on my back, on my stomach? When can I go and stand before him? Is that a good question for our hearts, for our heads today? Because we can experience what we experience here in this moment, in this room, as limited as it is. But maybe we could go out today with that question. Where else might I find some space to drink deeply, to receive more fully? Thank you, God, for your promises that you nourish and you sustain, that you give us what we can't give ourselves. Thank you that you're our source and our nourishment and our refreshment. As Dave has so wisely said, we're all in different places on the journey of understanding you in these ways, but we ask this week for a deepening understanding and experience of you. We ask for more nourishment, more life, more refreshment. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, confidently. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Bless you. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you next week, if not before.